When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling. It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Now from Austin, Texas, with Justin Simmons and Jeff Howe, here's Stu Myrick.
And the band is back together again. Welcome to another edition of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling from Austin, Texas. Stu Myrick here, and I got the tag team back together. It seems like it's been so long. The Smash Sensation, Justin Simmons.
Hey, Stu. Good to see you, man.
And, of course, by the way, Justin Simmons, throw in. Sundays, 9 a.m., 104.9 The Horn, you and Kit McConico. And the master of all things recruiting from Horns 24/7, Jeff Howe.
It's like a Shield reunion, only not as cool.
No way, man! This is awesome.
I don't have the like the guard breastplate or anything or whatever.
We'll just go down to like a sporting goods store, like the Dick's, and get like some catcher's vest
or
something.
From the Round Rock Express
or GT Distributors has some good stuff like that. They got all that.
Make that happen.
Gear.
There you go.
We could do that.
Stu's on top of it.
I don't know.
I think I know somebody at GT Distributors.
I'm already like on sports information overload today because it's like NBA Finals, Stanley Cup, Euro.
Copa America's
going on already.
You.
Euro's getting ready to get started. And then NXT, I'm like.
Notice I had a soccer reference.
I noticed.
We just finished X Games, the final X Games in Austin.
Yeah, and that happened too.
Which was interesting. Gotta love Texas weather. It played havoc. They weren't able to get in any of the big air events, which was very disappointing. There's a BMX rider from Tyler, Morgan Wade, a good friend that wasn't able to show his stuff this weekend. But big air, they couldn't do it at all because Friday night and Saturday night were rain and or lightning. And then Sunday, they were going to try to do them on Sunday, but then it was too windy.
They just didn't let him compete.
So
at
they
all?
couldn't do the competitions.
Wow, that's awful.
That
that's
was
an
the
awful
other
way
thing.
To going out.
Only got to see Bob Burnquist once, and that was on the vert ramp. He was great.
Of course.
I mean, he's Bob Burnquist. He's a legend.
Yeah.
But I did get to talk to him last Wednesday prior to the event. He 43. He grew a beard. Actually looks 33 now. It's crazy. So we were giving him grief about that. So, but anyway, back to wrestling. As we are, we've got on the TV right now because it is around 7, what time is it? 7:13 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, June 8th. So, of course, we've got NXT TakeOver The End.
About to see what should be a hell of a tag match.
Yeah, NXT Tag Team Champions, American Alpha, taking on The Revival, who I still say are the spitting image of Ole and Arn Anderson. It's just, it's scary how much they look like them. But anyway, speaking of all things WWE.
For WWE 2K17.
What's that?
The Revival against
the
Ole
Minnesota Record?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be a good match to create.
You know, you've got that game. You know, that's the reason they make video games like that. And you're talking to a guy that, you know, I had trouble with Pac-Man. So, you know, I don't do games. But that is the reason why you have games like that. So you can see, like, Dash and Dawson taking on Ole and Arn. Or you can see, or for that matter, you can see American Alpha versus Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. Let's go the other way.
That would be really, really cool.
Which, by the way, I saw the video. David Fuller, our good friend at IHWE up in Dallas, posted the video from Parade of Champions where Charlie Haas is fighting Jack Stane. He goes out the ring, says he's done with it, and then gets brought back to the ring by his former tag team partner, Shelton Benjamin. It was pretty cool. I'm sorry, Jeff. You were going to say something.
I totally forgot what I was going to say. So
after you made that horrible creak in your neck.
Yeah, this is my shoulder pops every now and then. But anytime, look,
okay, don't pull a labrum.
That's
what cost Texas the golf national championship.
We're good. I just want to say we're about 4 minutes into the show and we've already had a Shelton Benjamin reference, so I can leave right now and be perfectly content with how this thing has gone so far.
Shelton looked pretty good. Of course, he's, you know, busy over in Pro Wrestling NOAH as a part of Suzuki-gun with our buddies Killer Elite Squad, who finally ended their tag team reign. Did you see that?
I did.
After over a year, they got beat for the GHC tag team titles. I forget the name of the team, but it was just kind of shocking. But they spent over a year, Lance Hoyt and Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Does that mean they're on the move?
You know, they've made some hints on Twitter, and they love Twitter. You can follow them. Follow them at K Elite Squad, I think, at Lance Hoyt, at DB Smith Jr.
See, we do these shows with no computer, so I have no distractions. So I can't just look it up if people.
But they make these hints about, you know, they've hinted about maybe the TNA tag titles, you know, current champions being Decay. Talking about maybe go over there and getting those, or maybe showing up in Ring of Honor, challenge the Addiction for the Ring of Honor tag team titles. Or who knows? Maybe if Vince can see his way clear to forgive Davey Boy Jr. for whatever he did, maybe Killer Elite Squad shows up in NXT.
You never know.
Ooh.
Yes, it is at K Elite Squad on Twitter.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I should know that, but Lance, don't come over here and give me a killer bomb, please.
There's so much wrestling. How can one man know everything?
Well, you know, Lance Hoyt threatened me with a killer bomb because I forgot they were also IWGP tag champs at one time because I tried to list all their accomplishments.
And, you know. That's why I just try not to do that and just go.
Davey was much more understanding. Lance, on the other hand, and Lance is a fellow Texan, former Texas State quarterback. You know, go Bobcats, right? So, since we last were together,
it's been a while.
We've had some developments. I would say probably the biggest development was the announcement a couple weeks ago that after a 5-6 year absence, WWE is returning to the brand split. Did you hear about this?
Oh yeah.
Equally bigger news is SmackDown goes live on Tuesdays starting July 19th.
Which again, you know, I made the joke, I think, to Brian Fritz a couple weeks ago. The wrestling equivalent to the crying Jordan meme is the crying Dixie meme. So Dixie Carter, who runs TNA Wrestling, has lost most of her experienced roster. I think we're going to see most of them tonight on NXT TakeOver.
And
now
so
on top of that, the one night that she found to put her wrestling show on Pop on Tuesday nights, and now it's going to compete with a live SmackDown every week.
Yeah, it's not going to compete.
I mean, it's like she can't win for losing. You know, and the sad thing is they've been putting on somewhat decent shows.
I wouldn't know because I don't get Pop TV.
That's the problem.
I'll take the word of my co-host for it.
Honestly, the only thing I saw was off of one of those websites where they had this spot where Matt Hardy puts Jeff through a non-doctor table.
Actually, it's the other way around.
Was it the other way around? It was
the other way around. And we're going to get to that in a second because there's something that has come out of this.
Okay, you got to see what I'm talking about, though, man. It looks pretty vicious.
Okay, but let's get back to the brand split for a second.
Yeah.
And yes, SmackDown, I believe it's in July, they will start doing it live, which actually probably makes it a little easier for WWE because they're on the road anyway. The trucks are there. Just, you know, Monday, Tuesday, boom. You don't have to edit it. Make it go live. There you go.
It's better from the fan standpoint, too, because if that gap between the Tuesday taping and the Thursday airing, you've got all the spoilers. I mean, it's pretty – if you're plugged into what's going on with WWE, it's almost impossible to not know about what's going to happen on SmackDown by the time it airs on Thursday.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and SmackDown has been the B show. And there were rumors about they were going to make it kind of a hybrid between Raw and NXT or – they were going to do other things. So it's kind of cool that they're going to bring it live. The two distinct rosters brings up some interesting questions. For instance, you know, that means so you're going to have two touring rosters like you did before. Mm-hmm. You'll have the Raw brand on tour, SmackDown brand on tour. The first thing I think of is, does that mean they're going to bring back the big gold belt? Or are they going to keep one WWE champion, man, and have him float between the two shows?
I think that's pretty much the question on everybody's mind. But my big question to you before we jump into all of this is that Are you going to watch? Do you become automatically a weekly viewer now that it's going to be live, starting that date from here on out? Because no offense to wrestling. I love pro wrestling. You know this. Mm-hmm. But I can be very busy. And to have another this is going to be a two-hour show, right? Not a three-hour
right.
show.
Yeah. Raw was 2 hours.
So to commit another 2 hours of my wrestling viewing per week, you know, when it's not on my time schedule, I guess I could always go see the replay on WWE Network or whatever. But still, I mean, if you want to watch everything live, I mean, that's mm-hmm. 5 hours that you have to commit.
I get the condensed version on Hulu, so either way, it's no, you know, I can watch it, break it up into pieces or whatever.
But you weren't watching SmackDown Now.
Right. I probably will watch SmackDown Now, though. But, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, I mentioned spoilers. I'm one of those people that I'll read the spoilers, and if nothing looks interesting, I'll just skip SmackDown.
Just skip it, right?
I do the same thing. I do the exact same thing. Now, I think a lot of it will depend on who's on the roster.
True.
You know, they're going to do a draft, just like they did in the past. But a lot of it will depend on who's on the roster. They're going to have to split up their main stars.
Ooh. So are we going to see, like, Cena team captain one team and then Reigns team captain Raw or something
I think you've got to split up Cena and Reigns.
Right? You can't have them on the same roster.
I think you keep Reigns on Raw, and I think Cena's got to carry the banner for SmackDown at least for a little bit.
Well, of course, that's assuming Reigns loses the title between now and then.
Well, because if you want to elevate SmackDown and say this isn't just a B show, it is equal to Raw, no better way can you do that than to put John Cena on SmackDown.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're going
then
to
Then
that
gives
that.
SmackDown instant credibility. Okay, they put the face of the company on SmackDown. That's the only way you can see John Cena. So, yes, clearly.
Right. Raw is going to be Raw. You know, it's the flagship. Even if it is 3 hours, it's still Monday Night Raw. So I agree with Jeff. I think putting John Cena on SmackDown will definitely help to boost that to where it can be on equal footing with Raw and to make it, to borrow from NBC, must-see television.
Well, and even more so than I personally, I don't know where you guys stand on this, I think we will have two heavyweight champions, whether it's the big gold belt or they do something else with that SmackDown title, I think they will have two different world champions.
You see, and this is where I hope they don't. I really hope they don't, because when they had it the last time, the big gold belt was still the second tier championship. The WWE champion was still the flagship champion. They were still the top champion. No matter what they said, that's how it was presented.
Well, I felt that the belt that was presented at Raw, on Raw, whichever one it was at the time, because then they switch them, right? That was the headline.
Yeah, initially when the big gold belt came into WWE, it was
the world heavyweight champion, right?
Which was Triple H initially had that belt,
right? I just hope, personally, what I think they should do is the world champ is the world champ. World tag champs, world tag champs. Women's champ, women's champ. Then take the IC title and the US title. Put one on Raw, one on SmackDown, and those stay there. That way you've got a champion on a brand. Plus, again, just like you're trying to put SmackDown on equal footing with Raw, you put the US title on equal footing with the Intercontinental title.
I think the women are going to have to work Raw and SmackDown. I don't think you can make that women's championship exclusive to one brand or the other. And you can't. I don't think the roster's deep enough with the women to bring in a second.
I got your answer for that.
Well, but
to bring in a second women's champion.
No. You guys wait. I got the answer.
Got the answer. Okay.
Cruiserweights. They're already pushing all their power behind the cruiserweights with this tournament.
I like your idea, Justin. If the cruiserweights, I think, would have to be exclusive to SmackDown.
That's what's going
to
happen.
I don't think Vince wants anything to do with the cruiserweight
division.
Exactly,
but that's what would happen. I think you would see what Monday Nitro used to be essentially morph into SmackDown now. Or that's what SmackDown's going to turn into.
Well, and
cruiserweights and then big stars later.
And when I say
I don't have a problem with that at all.
When I say one world champion, one world tag champion, they work both shows. So whoever
are you going to have two distinct rosters if your tag champions and your world champion are working both shows?
Well, that's just three guys. You still, and then if they lose the title, then they get assigned to one of the brands. But so say, let's say Roman Reigns defeats Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank, is still the World Heavyweight Champion. So now Seth Roman Reigns appears on both Raw and SmackDown.
So,
but how would they do that? I mean,
how would a feud carry over? That's why I don't like. That's why I think you have to have two different world champions. How do your feuds carry over? If he's appearing on both shows, yet you have distinct rosters, you can't have. If let's say he's in a feud with Cena and Cena's on SmackDown, how is that feud going to carry over to Raw to your flagship show?
You're right. And that's another thing to think of.
I've been trying to wrap my head around this for 2 weeks already since they announced this was going to happen, and I still haven't really found a concrete way of explaining this to where it will work. Because, like you've mentioned many times, I don't like the fact that you had two world titles, and it's not necessarily because one was above the other. It's just because it felt that neither champion was a true champion. It's kind of like, would JBL have ever been heavyweight champion if there wasn't two world titles? Let's be honest. He's a great wrestler.
There's a lot of guys that you can go down.
But I don't think he would have ever gotten a world title shot if it wasn't for the fact that there wasn't two champions.
No. Well, then you mentioned feuds, so then that leads into pay-per-views. Are you going to have a Raw pay-per-view and SmackDown pay-per-view? Are you going to say... Your big four, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble are both brands. And then you split up the, for lack of a better term, B pay-per-view. So, like, you know, Payback is a Raw pay-per-view. Money in the Bank, SmackDown. And then go back and forth.
You know, I will have to say, though, this automatically...
Do you do two a month?
This automatically makes Survivor Series a lot more interesting because you can have so many SmackDown versus Raw implications.
Right.
Second of all, the pay-per-view thing, while it is important, it's decreased a little bit in its importance because you have WWE Network. So it doesn't matter how many pay-per-views you run. You can run as many as you want now.
Let's say, I see
what you're saying.
You had Roadblock before WrestleMania.
That's where I was going with that. Let's say you take... I think Money in the Bank would have to be a joint pay-per-view. But let's take what a Battleground, I think, is in between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. Let's say Battleground is a where it would be a Raw pay-per-view. Okay. Why not SmackDown? Just turn one of the SmackDown house shows on a weekend, just turn that into a network special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Justin, I think you just said it. I think this helps. The network is going to benefit from this hugely.
Oh, it's more live programming, more possibilities of programming for the WWE Network. Like I said, mine hasn't really been working for the past 2 months, so I still need to contact them about that. But from what I saw, the Edge and Christian show did pretty well towards the end of its run. I never saw the Camp WWE thing. But other than that, Swerved and a couple of other shows like Table for Three, they really don't have much Total Divas, I guess, in way of original programming right now. It's pretty slim.
Table for Three, they've done some new episodes. They did one with The Click. They did one with three of the Horsemen, Tully, Arn, and Rick.
I watched one. It was Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, and maybe Sami Zayn?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
May have been. Or may have been Samoa Joe.
I think it was Cesaro, actually.
Or maybe it's Cesaro, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the more recent ones were, the most recent ones were The Click and the Horsemen. Camp WWE, they only did five episodes.
Okay.
It was okay. It was WWE's attempt at trying to do
South Park.
Yeah. That's basically what it was.
It seemed like Vince had his fingerprints
now,
on that,
the Edge
too.
And Christian show, I enjoyed because they had enough references to laugh at. There was the one episode where they had AJ Styles on, and they were, what was the... game, what will WWE talk about it?
Oh yeah.
And they had the question, it was the company that AJ Styles worked for from 2002 to 2013, and instead of flashing the letters TNA, they flashed Prince Albert, Test, and Trish Stratus. TNA
as the TNA.
Yes. So but yeah, I mean, you're right. The network is going to benefit greatly from this. Then, on top of all that, what happens to NXT? Because now you have to fill rosters for two shows, which means a lot of the guys that we're watching tonight are going to end up on one of those rosters.
Justin brought it up, and I thought it was a great point. I actually hadn't thought about it, and I'm glad you brought it up because it kind of leads me to where I was going with this. I think Raw can still be Vince McMahon's idea of sports entertainment and him give, you know, what he feels the people want from that standpoint. And I could see him turning SmackDown over to Triple H, and I believe the head writer from NXT just got promoted to be on the writing team for SmackDown. And you could basically say, okay, whatever this NXT thing is, go ahead and just make SmackDown a souped-up version of NXT. So I think before long you'll see Samoa Joe, Nakamura, Austin Aries, Finn Balor. You'll see that whole crew go to SmackDown. And this is what I want. I'm not saying it's going to happen, obviously, but this is what I would like to see. And then I think at that point you'll see NXT actually be more of a developmental, or to where a guy like Nakamura might spend 6 weeks in NXT, maybe just getting polished or what have you, or just a way to introduce him before you would promote him to one of your two brands. And in that case, it would be SmackDown. So I would like to just see them, you know, we talked about what could SmackDown be kind of a hybrid. I would just like them to see, like Vince, to just to put it in Triple H's hands and see, okay, what you've done with NXT and the fact that an NXT TakeOver sold out the Barclays Center last summer before SummerSlam. Can you do that on SmackDown and take SmackDown and make that something that the other portion of the fan base that enjoys indie wrestling and, you know, pop for AJ Styles and people like that, that's what they want. You can give them that on their 2 hours on Tuesday nights.
That would be the coolest thing ever if that's what actually ends up happening. But when you say what happens to NXT, the brand's so strong.
Right.
You just
can't. But you got to – so are you going to bring in more talent?
Well, of course. They have money to do so.
And then, of course, where? Now, there's talk. For instance, Moose and Cedric Alexander, and I think Roderick Strong out of Ring of Honor.
Roderick Strong and Moose were the two that I heard, yes.
Their contracts are ending, and apparently, allegedly, WWE is interested in those three. Depending on how much longer TNA lasts, I could see a couple guys from there. I mean, James Storm had a great, very short run in NXT. We could, you know, could see the reunion of Beer Money in NXT because they're going to sign Bobby Roode soon. So, and you're right. That was nasty. We were watching American Alpha versus The Revival, and American Alpha gets a two count on which one is that? Dash or Dawson? I can't remember. Anyway,
I can never remember.
That's
obviously
right. So, I mean, it'll be fun to watch, at least in the beginning. Hopefully, they'll do it right this time. I hope the temptation is not there in 6 months or a year to start slowly melding them back.
Right.
I hope they try to keep it as separated as possible. Now, yes, you've got to do certain things.
Wow.
Did we just see a three count?
Yeah, Stu. You didn't break a stride. Dash and Dawson. That is professionalism right there, my friend.
Dash and Dawson get the three count. They have regained the NXT tag team titles. American Alpha, short run there. You know, they won them in Dallas at WrestleMania weekend.
That was a hell of a match that we just saw.
It
man.
Was.
They battled. Wow.
Great match. So, last night, Monday Night Raw. Let's go back 2 weeks. John Cena.
Go ahead. Because you said what you said before you finished up really struck me right there. You were like, I hope they do it right. But what is right? I'm not sure what right is. So, how am I supposed to blame the WWE if they mess up again?
Well, I hope they keep the brand separate. I hope they're able to put intriguing storylines on both shows. I hope that they, like I said, 6 months, a year down the road, they're not melding it back together again. You know, because there was that slow little thing about, like, you'd have a Raw superstar show up on SmackDown, and or SmackDown superstar show up on Raw, and then there was another one, and then there was another one before you knew it. You know, the brands
I have to go home and think about this and see how we can really make
just
this
look
good
at the end of the last time they did the brand split.
It got watered down at the end.
Very watered down. So, so 2 weeks ago, John Cena returns to Monday Night Raw after shoulder surgery and this American Grit show that he did on Fox, which apparently did horribly on Fox. It was a, I'm sure it was a noble effort, but, you know, the ratings weren't there. Mainly because it was on Monday night.
Exactly.
So, you know. So he comes into the ring, and then the music hits. And a sight that most of the wrestling world thought it would never see. When AJ Styles comes down to the ring, and he is face-to-face with John Cena. You've got the man that has been the face of WWE for so long versus the man that was the face of TNA for quite some time. You could argue, oh, we've got a run-in. This new tag team apparently beating up on American Alpha. I don't know who they are. They look
Samoan?
One of them looks Samoan.
It's because of the
other one doesn't look quite as Samoan.
Ooh, that was a nasty move right there.
I'm sure we'll find out who they are. The two very large men. I saw black, and I saw very crew cut, and for a second I thought it was Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. But
they look about PBK, as massive.
Last time I checked, PBK is still messing around in Ring of Honor. By the way, they attacked War Machine the other night in Indiana. It was
I heard.
Yeah. Big news.
I saw the post on my Facebook.
But anyway, so back to WWE. So yes, AJ Styles, the face of TNA for a long time. Some could argue the face of New Japan. He was, you know, IWGP champion for quite some time.
The Gaijin face of New Japan. That worked.
Yeah, I would say that. But it was one of those surreal moments, you know. Oh my goodness. Precious Paul Ellering is on NXT.
I was just about to say that those guys reminded me of a more stout version of LOD, just the way they're built.
Wow. That is huge. And the longtime manager of the Road Warriors just walked out on the stage at Full Sail University at NXT TakeOver with these two behemoths as a tag team. Holy shnikes. That is, that's huge.
That's pretty awesome.
That's
like LOD reincarnated.
The only thing Paul's missing is that rolled up copy of the Wall Street Journal in his hand. Wow.
He looks exactly the same.
He does. I saw him a couple months ago in Dallas. He and Animal having lunch. Animal in full face paint, of course. Very nice. So, anyway, so. As we get distracted. Cena and Styles, and then Styles attacks Cena. Here comes Anderson and Gallows, and we've reunited the club again. So then fast forward to this Monday night when John Cena comes out. And by the way, they have made the announcement that at Money in the Bank, it will be John Cena versus AJ Styles. Again, a match most wrestling fans thought they would never see, which is just in two completely different styles. So John Cena comes out, talks about the match, calls out AJ Styles. AJ Styles comes out. The crowd is now chanting, "Let's go Cena, AJ Styles." Now, you got to love Twitter. For things like this, Twitter just blows up on, you know, wrestling fans on Twitter are kind of like Trekkies because they will take the smallest detail and just go nuts. Prime example, here's John Cena when AJ and Anderson and Gallows come out. Here's what Cena had to say.
Why did you take the easy way out, AJ?
Of course, everybody caught on the fact that he said the B word.
Oh, yeah. I know Botchamine is going to have a field day on this.
Oh, he was. Yeah, it was like I saw lots of pictures of, you know, the old picture of Vince pulling on his ear going nuts. You know, Vince just heard John Cena say Bullet Club on on Monday Night Raw, but nevertheless, it made for good TV.
It's live.
Did y'all see the promo? Did you see Raw last night? It was actually some of the best mic work between the two. I mean, John Cena went kind of, he was almost kind of reverting back to the Doctor of Thuganomics a little bit.
And AJ
Styles was being AJ Styles.
Well, he more than held his own. Which has always been the big knock against AJ Styles.
Well, he did just fine. And there were a couple of references where it was kind of like, you wonder how much reality was in those comments.
I liked it.
There was the one comment, for instance, about AJ Styles said something to you the effect of once John Cena beats you, it's time to get out the shovel.
Guys like you bury guys like me.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. It's like, Stu, you're so excited about this. I can see it. You're so giddy. And I'm like, I look across and I'm like, you and I kind of, I think, share the same feeling in the fact that we both know that AJ is going to lose.
Right. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's not a matter of who's going to win or lose. It's the simple fact of seeing these two men in the same ring at the same time.
Okay, so that's the payoff for you.
Yeah.
Okay, because as a wrestling fan, I'm just kind of like, all right, great. AJ Styles gets to go against John Cena.
Let me put a frame of reference.
Justin, you and I are pretty much on the same page here.
Yeah. It's in the same frame of reference as when Sting debuted. Because when Sting debuted in WWE, that was, for me, that was the last of the big debuts. You know, there was nobody left from that era. So just to see whatever happens, to see him appear on a WWE show was huge.
For me, now for Styles, it was the debut at the Rumble.
Right. And that was same. Yeah, Rumble, same thing. Then to see him and Cena in the same ring, it's one of those, we're in a new time in wrestling where you can see the possibilities are there, that you can see things like this.
For me as a fan, just in the time I've been watching wrestling, it didn't have the same impact as the first time Hogan and The Rock are face to face, or the first time you got, even though he wasn't in a wrestling capacity, you got Austin in the same ring with Goldberg. Like, it wasn't anything to that nature. Or even, you know, the first time you see Rock and Cena, or Austin and Cena. I just didn't. Different strokes for different folks. It just didn't have the same impact on me that it did on used to.
As Austin Aries, the greatest man that ever lived, comes out.
This is about to be a hell of a match, too.
This should be a great match. He's going to take on Shinsuke Nakamura, the former TNA World Champion versus the former IWGP World Champion. Should be a fun one. But
you know, to get back to Cena and AJ, I'm kind of with Justin. It's like, you know, and somebody asked me, you know, one of our subscribers at Horns 24/7 is a big wrestling fan, hit me up on Twitter. He said, what do you think about this AJ heel turn? I'm like, at the end of the day, does it really matter? Because we know how this is going
to
end.
Right. And it's kind of hard to call it. I mean, yeah, it's a heel turn only because John Cena is going to be the face. But
yeah, but nobody's going to boo Styles.
Right. Yeah, and they're certainly not.
I read an interview with Cena right around WrestleMania time. Somebody asked him, how come you never turn heel? He's like, well, what is the goal? What is a heel supposed to do? He's like, supposed to get heat from the crowd. Supposed to, you know, people aren't supposed to like you. He's like, well, if that's the case, I turned heel in 2006.
Exactly. I will say this.
He's right in between.
I think that we will get a good match out of him, just based on what we have seen in the past with Cena when he goes up against guys like this.
Oh, yeah. I hate the fact that he gets knocked about his wrestling ability.
He does. And it's because he shouldn't. You're right.
And even to a lesser extent, I mean, when Reigns has been in big matches, I mean, I know nobody, it's very unpopular to like Roman Reigns right now, but from the time he debuted till now, his work has gotten so much better, in my opinion anyway. Justin, I don't know where you're on that. You're the worker.
I totally agree with you. When it's time for a big-time match, Reigns has stepped up every single time. Now, granted, he's not putting on like 30, 45 minutes of classics, but those 15 minutes that you see at the end of a pay-per-view, he's giving you everything he's got.
Yeah. Right.
He has my respect on that standpoint. Do I still feel that he needs to be WWE champion? That's not necessary for me.
And this is why, another reason why I like having two different world champions, because it's just different flavors of ice cream. Which one do you like? Well, okay, if you like Reigns, he can be your champion on Raw, and that's fine. And Vince can have it, whatever. This also allows you to, you know, if you want AJ Styles to carry the championship on SmackDown, if you want Kevin Owens to, Dean Ambrose, who I think at this point is deserving of a world championship run, you know, that guy can be your guy who can carry the SmackDown brand.
Like the only idea I've come to fix any of this, and I love Shinsuke Nakamura, he's amazing, is to have some sort of, like, not exactly undisputed, but maybe one, like, you have two different world champions, but when they meet and whoever defeats the other, they don't necessarily take the other person's title. They just have, like, the super title of some sort, where right. they're, like, they're the prestige winner of both the battle of both brands. I don't know.
I guess you'd call it maybe, the lineal...
The linear champion, yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. But that way, that belt can be defended like at WrestleMania or something. But then you can still have two separate champions of each brand.
I got you.
Instead of taking the United States title and the Intercontinental title and making those guys compete for the world title, which is the only other thing I could think of, but then you don't get to utilize your talent as much because you still need that second tier title to say, hey, this guy's ready to make the jump eventually.
Right.
That's the only reason why I felt that they had to be another title that succeeded the world title on each respective brand.
Yeah. Speaking of, you mentioned Dean Ambrose. Speaking of which... Reigns versus Rollins, Money in the Bank. Are we in agreement that, A, does Ambrose win Money in the Bank, and B, do we see a triple threat Shield match for the world title, possibly SummerSlam?
I think that's where this is headed.
Nope.
You don't?
Nope.
Really?
Justin,
nope.
Why not? May be right.
It's just too fast to give that match away. I mean, I know injuries pile up, but let's just admit, ever since Ambrose got his butt kicked by Brock Lesnar, it was a nice win over Jericho, but I mean, he didn't look particularly impressive in that match. From a wrestling standpoint, he might have some injuries.
Are you talking about the Asylum match, the last pay-per-view? That match was pretty weak. It drug on until about the
The thumbtacks went through the skin, because I didn't know if that was going to actually happen or not.
I was a little surprised they went there.
Yeah, me too.
WWE doesn't like to do that.
Props to Chris Jericho.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, man. They were in his hand. Oh, I was just like, I hate taking those things out of my boots.
By the way,
I half expected to see Abyss come out.
There are very few things on there. There might not be anything on WWE TV that's as enjoyable as when Chris Jericho is in full-on heel persona.
Oh, my God. There is stupid idiot. We need stupid idiot T-shirts. That's all there is to it.
I know you had Dave LaGreca filled in for Justin and I a couple shows ago, and I was driving back home for the day after WrestleMania, and Jericho called into Busted Open, and those guys are friends. He's been on the show plenty of times, but he was full on heel Chris Jericho calling people. You know, they actually took questions from the audience and had Jericho answer them, and stupid idiot got used a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you moron, what are you doing? I'm too good for you guys. It was so awesome.
Oh, and how he uses that Canadian twang at the end of everything. Again.
Yes, by the way, shout out to Dave LaGreca and Dan Mortman. SiriusXM Busted Open, Channel 93. Check them out. They're good. They're really good. I actually got to see them in Dallas interviewing the Young Bucks before the Ring of Honor show, and they were having a blast. It was really cool.
Yeah, Doug and Dave do a good job, and they talk, you know, WWE, obviously, but they'll do... dip into TNA
They're two of the best in the business. So, So Reigns and Rollins, Money in the Bank. You got the Money in the Bank match. By the way, does that get continued with the brand split? Do we see two Money in the Bank? I mean, we did before. You had a Raw and a SmackDown, Raw Money in the Bank, SmackDown Money in the Bank.
The only problem with Money in the Bank matches is the toll that it puts on their talent.
Yeah,
because I mean,
with the ladders,
those are high risk matches. The WWE scripts these storylines months and months in advance. Mm-hmm. So to have one of their plans have to change, it really causes a lot of issues for them. So to put your talent, especially now that we've kind of been aware of how risky it really can be to take these falls, to take these shots to the head, you know, and what we just seen recently where Enzo Amore just got thrown through the rope on a simple Irish whip and missed. I wouldn't really want to have to see two of those matches on the same card. That's another thing. I mean, how are you supposed to outdo the other raise the level?
Could the problem just be solved by having three guys from Raw and three guys from SmackDown?
Ooh,
in one match?
Sure.
Could you bring back the King of the Ring tournament?
There's
the King of the Brands tournament.
I don't know why King of the Ring isn't a network special.
It needs
already.
To be.
Yeah.
Okay, see, it was once.
Elimination Chamber, or it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year. Wade Barrett won it. It was a network special.
Yeah, but they got to do something with them afterwards.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, you know, 6 months later, Wade Barrett's no longer with the company. So, but yeah, you're right. I think that's one they could bring back, could be a great.
You would think they would bring it back because in a PG era to have, you know, pay-per-views, themed pay-per-views like Extreme Rules and TLC at the end of the year, you would think. In a PG era, you would want the King of the Ring would be a great substitute for one of those to say, okay, this is the one time of year where we'll have our tournament and crown, you know, the next guy. But again, yeah, you've got to do something with that guy after the tournament.
Don't just put him in a stable.
And when you say King of the Ring tournament, you can have different tournaments going on in the same night. It can be like King of the Cruiserweights, the Intercontinental, you know, maybe the belt's up for grabs that night or something like that, along with King of the Ring itself. So, and whatever feuds you're going to carry on. I mean, I could really see that pay-per-view working out really well.
Yeah.
One of you remind me, when's the Cruiserweight Classic start? Is it in July on the network?
That sounds right, yeah.
I know they've got Zack Sabre Jr. out of Evolve. They've got a couple guys from Progress over in the UK.
Yeah, the UK tournaments have been ongoing, as well as in the Northeast.
I was hoping they would get Will Ospreay, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Ospreay signed exclusively with New Japan. So, by the way, congratulations, Will Ospreay, winning the best of the Super Juniors.
Speaking of Ospreay, one report I read before this, when they were trying to get guys for this series, if what I read was correct, they tried really hard to sign Ricochet.
Yes.
Really hard.
Yes, and they have really tried. I think Ricochet finally signed with New Japan, and I think he's still got to deal with Lucha Underground as well to beat Prince Puma as well. Plus, Ricochet's still one half of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champs with Matt Sydal. So.
And see, that's what's so cool, though, is now that you're seeing that these guys can make a living without having to go to WWE.
That's the beauty of the business right now.
That was the concern even about 5 years ago. Was that going to be possible? Could you make a living unless you made it to WWE? And the answer is, if you're popular enough on the indie scene and you got your bookings taken care of, you can make a pretty decent life.
By the way, speaking of which, just a couple weeks ago, 20 years, a couple weeks ago, Scott Hall walks out on Monday Nitro. For the very first time.
We're about to come up on the 20-year anniversary of the formation of the NWO.
That's later this summer. Good night. Where did the time go?
20 years, really?
1996.
Jeez.
I wanted to throw something at the TV when I saw Hogan do the leg drop on Macho Man.
That would have been the summer between when I was in the 6th grade and the 7th grade.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's about the same time for me. Yeah. I think I was like 11 or 12.
Oh, and before that, they had the Nitro at, Disney MGM Studios.
Where Kevin Nash threw Rey Mysterio into the trailer.
Like a lawn dart. Yes.
Yeah, he just like launched him into it first. That was
Eric Bischoff talks about how they had people in the neighborhood calling 911 because they believed this was like a real, like an ambush.
A real beating?
Yeah. So, So, yeah, 20 years ago.
Talking about that real quick, a little off subject. Did you hear about that wrestler that got a gun pulled on him in Tennessee, just some indie worker? That guy must have some real heat over there.
Well, I mean, but you talk.
But those guys are kind of gone. Aren't they supposed to be gone now?
If you remember the interview I did with Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, some of the stiff they would see coming out of the sportatorium, you know, slash tires, old ladies with the hat pins.
Well, I expect that in the day of kayfabe, but now?
Yeah. Now, yeah. Well, but, okay, but you said Tennessee, though.
True.
Not to knock, in Jack Stane, please don't hit me. Not to knock Tennessee.
Territory.
But, you know, Tennessee, they're not the most educated. I hate to say that. That's horrible to say, but I've been to Tennessee a number of times.
Tennessee.
I mean, I know we talk. Seriously, I know we talk about how kayfabe is dead, but from being at WrestleMania,
yeah,
There were definitely some people in my section who didn't get the memo that kayfabe died.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
Years ago.
Still, yeah. Now, you probably won't see him in this crowd at NXT TakeOver.
No, no,
no.
But, yeah, I would venture to see in a couple weeks at Pro Wrestling Texas, we'll see, might see one or two that still think.
Can you get this crowd times three to fill a WWE-sized arena for SmackDown? That's the only question.
Sure. If NXT can do it. Now you gotta get
but
the
that's
right,
only
the
once
right guys.
Every now and then. It's a special event. We're talking about a weekly show for 2 hours.
They did it. They're doing it now.
It is a special event.
The only difference. Oh, you mean for a SmackDown pay per view?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying you want this capacity sold out crowd every night SmackDown goes on. That's if
you're gonna have to be very strategic, I think. Of and know your marketplace very
That's
well
true.
In terms of the city you're booking in, what type of building you need. In other words, you know, I forget what the name of the building is now, but what's the big arena? I think it's the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. If you've got Nakamura and Styles and Aries on a card, you could probably sell out or come close to it at the Wells Fargo Center. If you're in Austin, while you might be able to have Raw at the Irwin Center, maybe a place like the Cedar Park Center would be a better place for SmackDown. Yeah, you know, just depending on where you're at and who your audience is, they're really going to have to know their audience in terms of booking the
right building.
That's
my one concern, because if you don't want it to be a B show, it has to be looking a little like Raw, right? Or is the best way just to kind of just like completely tear it away?
I would like to see them tear it away and make it two distinctly different shows from the way the stage is set up to everything else, the aesthetics of the building.
I agree.
But you don't want it to be treated like a AAA show.
And I'll go.
No.
And
you
I'll go,
want it to be a big league show like Raw.
I'll go one step further. If the brand wasn't so damaged.
Yeah,
I'd bring back the WCW brand. Make one of them a WCW.
Oh, and then make it completely two separate companies under one banner.
Right. I mean, you could still do. I mean, that was the dream in 2001 that you were going to have WWE show and a WCW show.
And then they sent Booker T.
Then
Jeff Buff Bagwell out there. And I
blame Buff Bagwell on that. I don't blame Booker T.
It wasn't
T.
the worst match I've ever seen.
I'm trying to be nice to Booker T. We want to go to the Reality of Wrestling and House of Hardcore. And
I want Booker
but
T.
You heard
talk
about
to
this,
us.
Right?
Yes.
You heard about this, right?
Yep.
That's going to be a cool show.
My boy, Jeremiah Gallegos, the voice of Houston, he's the ring announcer for.
They couldn't have done a Judy Bagwell and a forklift match that night.
The forklift match. I completely forgot.
Oh,
how many
goodness.
Matches was Judy Bagwell in?
I don't know. But
she was like in three of them, right?
One of these days, I'm going to read. It was on my to-do list this summer. I don't think I'm going to get to it, but I really want to read the Brian Alvarez book about the death of WCW, which
That's
basically just chronicles all the ridiculous stuff they did for that last year.
Talking about books, Stu brought you back that one from the Cornette thing.
Yes.
Have you broken
have
into that
I have not
yet?
Had a chance to break
okay.
into it.
Yeah.
I was curious to see what you thought. But
I'm having to put Death of WCW on the shelf because I do want to read Cornette's book.
Yeah. I know that's good.
I know that feeling all too well.
My Blu-ray of that weekend is supposed to be coming soon, so we'll have the two-hour Jim Cornette experience. Oh, wow. Nakamura with the... Well, it's not. We can't call it the Hell's Gate because it's not. It's not Undertaker.
Kimura Lock.
No, it's not a Kimura Lock. It's like a kind of a triangle choke on Aries. So, you know that this. I mean, it's we're have to go back and watch this match in Saturday game.
What does he call his knees here in the WWE?
Yeah, Shin Sasha, something like that.
Okay,
they're not calling it the Bomae.
Yeah.
They're called Shinsasa or something like that.
Okay, I can't remember. It was just so difficult.
Okay,
like,
stupid question.
Yeah.
You know, with the death of Muhammad Ali.
Of course. Perfect time to
bring
it back.
Did he borrow that from Muhammad Ali? Because that was the Rumble in the Jungle. He was in Africa, and he learned Bomae means...
Kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wonder if Nakamura... You know, it would not surprise me for Nakamura to take that, and that's what
I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to tweet Mauro Ranallo, right? Because he always retweets.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you think he might know the answer? I heard.
Oh,
that,
he would.
I know,
oh, he'll know.
I know. He said that he was going to stay off of social media for a little while for mental health, but maybe he might see this.
If he is, that he'll if he's on
but
that's
a good question. Where did you get the reference from?
So, yeah, if anyone knows the former voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
So, bringing up Mauro Ranallo and knowing where he came from, the MMA world, is this as good a time as any to bring up Lesnar?
Yes.
Boy, you have my list. The next thing on my list. So, it was announced on Monday on SportsCenter. Brock Lesnar, who is still under contract with WWE, by the way, will be entering the octagon at UFC 200.
Allegedly for a one-off.
Versus Mark Hunt. And I'm sure our fellow podcasters over at Fight Night ATX, shout out to Jordan and Eddie. I'm sure they will talk about this a lot.
Oh, I wanted to know what their thoughts were. I was hoping that they already got to it.
They may be record. They're record. I think they record on Wednesdays as well. They're at the studio. They're at the Austin Radio Network studios. But Brock Lesnar is going back to UFC for allegedly one night only, as he said on SportsCenter, a boatload of cash. I mean, that was the quote. How successful is he going to be? And B, how much do you believe it's a one-off?
I think it's a one-off. I think this is just it'll be the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history.
Right.
With the Conor McGregor fallout, Dana White had to do something, and I think this is just Brock scratching the itch. You know, I think he knows. In terms of the preparation, the travel, the work, I think it's easier on his body, and WWE's very much willing to accommodate him and the lifestyle he wants to live. When he wants to go hang out with Sable in Canada for 6 months out of the year and hunt moose or whatever it is he does out there, I don't know.
I mean, he is set to be at SummerSlam the following month.
Yeah. That man likes his solidarity, though.
But I just think this is him scratching the itch. It's just my opinion. He wanted just one more taste of it just to see, you know, can I still do it? And then he's a genetic freak. He's a freak of nature, so why not?
He always said that he felt robbed of what he could have been because of the diverticulitis. I was going to say, I always mispronounce it. And I have to agree with him. I mean, who knows how good he could be if he was healthy? We're talking about not just like a little nagging injury. We're talking about this man had parts of his intestine cut out of his body. And the guy is a freak of nature where he can come back and still perform at a high level.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I do know is that he has a very tough fight. It's not a cakewalk for him.
Right.
No,
exactly.
They're putting him up against Mark Hunt, who's supposed to be a knockout artist. Now, granted, Brock's face looks like it's chiseled out of granite. His brow probably tougher than most men's like fist or elbows, but still, it's not a cakewalk for him.
I think I've told this on this show, but I'll tell it again. You know, Lesnar's one of those guys that I didn't realize how intimidating he was until I went to a Raw in Dallas where he was there. And when you're 20 or so feet from the guy, you realize just what a physical specimen this guy is. Just because. You know, TV's one thing, but to see it in person, you're like, that dude just climbed to the list of people I would never mess with ever. No matter how much money you gave me, whatever the circumstances were, not messing with Brock Lesnar.
$3 million to last 3 minutes for Brock Lesnar.
I wouldn't probably last 3 seconds with Brock Lesnar.
I was going to say. That'd be about 500,000 per suplex.
I'll take 13 of them. Because I'd say
he could probably get 6 German suplexes in 3 minutes.
But, you know, it's his MMA career. I think you're right, Justin. We don't know. And he could have been the biggest star that sport ever produced. Because, the one thing I'll say about Brock Lesnar in terms of being an athlete that I think sums up who he is and the type of person he is. This is a guy who hadn't played football since I think he was maybe a junior in high school.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Went to the Minnesota Vikings and was the last guy cut in training camp. And they wanted him to go to NFL Europe because they thought, hey, you've got a legit future here. And he just decided, no, he pretty much knew at that point, I'm good enough to play in the league, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're right. I
just what the hell? I'll go play in the NFL. Let's go give that a shot.
Why not?
And that's because the guy had like no technique, didn't have like the basic football knowledge or acumen.
Right,
that you
but
would
they
require.
They wanted to.
But
practice,
that's how good he was.
Practice squad him, send him to NFL Europe, and they figured maybe by the next year he'll be a guy who might be able to contribute. Like that's.
Can you imagine that guy coming down on you on special teams?
No, I don't want to. Thank God they've changed some kickoff rules in the NFL.
Yes, no kidding. As we watch Nakamura celebrate his victory over Austin Aries. That was one hell of a match. Before we move off this, there is a rumor going around that CM Punk might make his UFC debut. I guess that would be 201 or 202. I guess it's 202. It's
supposed to be sometime this fall.
Well, allegedly it would be. It would be 202. It would be Saturday, August 20th, which would be the same night as NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Yes, by the way, only because I see it on the TV.
I was going to say, yes. How did you know that?
I just showed. Tickets are available. NXT TakeOver coming back to the Barclays Center the night before SummerSlam. So could you see CM Punk enter the Octagon the night before SummerSlam?
I don't even care anymore. Think about it. The guy's had 2 years to do this. We don't really know about his legit. Unlike Brock Lesnar, who we've seen.
Right.
That's a guy I'd like to see in the cage.
Samoa Joe in the Octagon. That would be interesting.
I think he'd do all right.
I think he had a shot in Bellator when he was still working with TNA.
Yeah. But, you know, we talk about Lesnar and the lack of legit opponents you have for him. That's one thing. And maybe it's kind of a WrestleMania interpromotional match.
Right.
You could take SmackDown. You don't even have to put a belt on him. If you just build Samoa Joe as a badass just to introduce him to the WWE audience that might not be as familiar with him, he might be, of anybody on the roster, he could be the one guy that you could craft to be a legitimate opponent for Brock Lesnar that you could say, okay, yeah, I can see those two guys getting in a fight, and I would give Joe a chance.
That would be a fascinating match. Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar.
I'm just saying, could see those two guys, if those two guys got in a barroom brawl, could you see Samoa Joe beating Brock Lesnar?
No, but I like to see him try.
There you go. But see, there you go. Justin's answer just said it all. Yeah. Now you've added some credibility to the match.
But let me ask you guys this. This is what concerned me. What happens if Brock Lesnar steps into the Octagon at UFC 200, only on pay-per-view, and gets Bart gunned? Does that hurt his credit?
Worst case scenario.
We're talking getting Bart gunned, WrestleMania by Butter, being knocked out cold and looking horrible. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to Brock. Right. I'm hoping it doesn't, but you just never know. Yeah. It's a real fight. It takes just one punch, and sometimes you can get lucky. If that happens to Brock Lesnar, where he just gets laid out round one within the first minute, doesn't that just kill all his credibility? Or do you still see him as a legit badass because he was once UFC heavyweight champion?
To me, yes.
I think it's
yes, because of the backstory, because of the track record, and what WWE has that UFC doesn't to build him and reshape his image. You've got Paul Heyman.
Because his whole persona is the fact that he is the ass kicker of all ass kickers. He is the four horsemen rolled into one right now, and the concern of the havoc that he wages. Right. I'm not saying he has the flair of flair and all the other good stuff.
Right.
But he is the man right now.
But you know how it is in sports, Justin. You can justify anything you want. Brock's been away from the Octagon for years, and Mark Hunt's a legit guy, and this was a one-off. And there's so many ways you can spin it to, I think. Maybe he does take a little bit of a hit, but you can spin it enough to where it wouldn't be just completely devastating to the character and who he is.
Getting Bart gunned turns into a Dr. Death Steve Williams scenario also. Would that happen if he loses, where he just, we don't need to see him in a wrestling ring? Because it's almost a knock against your wrestlers on the roster. It's like, hey, this guy just got knocked out. He's supposed to be the ass kicker of ass kickers. I know what he's done before, but this is where he is right now. See, that's what I'm concerned about. Yeah. Because then if you say this guy's the best guy and he got knocked out in round one, it's kind of saying how come John Cena couldn't get past the guy who got, are all UFC fighters better than pro wrestlers now? That's the issue you have with him losing this match.
Yeah.
Okay. As an industry as a whole, especially with how the WWE...
Industry as a whole, yes. But let's not forget who we're talking about here. We're talking about Vince McMahon.
Right.
So he's not worried about legitimacy. It's entertainment.
Or do you not necessarily, you don't have to repackage Brock Lesnar, or does Brock return to WWE just looking to mow down whoever, doesn't matter, and you just got out of control, full of rage Brock Lesnar on Raw every week?
That's great, if he gets knocked out in round one?
I think it doesn't. I don't think it hurts.
I still think you can spin that enough to where... I'm not saying he won't take a hit in terms of his credibility. I think obviously he will, but I think you could cushion the blow, so to say, by the way you can spin it.
Because you have to remember, this is the guy who broke the Undertaker's record.
Yes, but again, not in an octagon.
This is true, Stu, but I mean, think about... I'm saying there's a lot on the line that people aren't talking about right now.
It's a risk. There's risk involved.
And I want everybody to understand that there are a lot of risk involved if Brock looks silly.
What happens if Brock gets injured?
Exactly.
And you've just killed whatever storyline.
That to me is the bigger issue.
I think that's the bigger issue.
If Brock blows out a knee,
yeah,
then you had for WrestleMania is off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock sustained severe concussion. I don't know. Bad things can happen in that ring. And we haven't seen him fight in a while, like you mentioned. So there are concerns.
Vince signed off on it.
He lost an arm wrestling match to Brock. He had no choice. That's what I read.
I heard that too. So
but it will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
To kind of wrap up.
I'll be watching.
I'll watch too. Hey Chad, we're coming over for UFC 200. Before we get off of this, it was announced this week. WWE 2K17 is coming out, and one of the characters in it.
Who's next?
Yeah, this guy. So Goldberg is going to be a playable character in WWE 2K17. Now, the last few guys that we have seen as playable characters, Sting, Ultimate Warrior, eventually came back to the company. Sting got in the ring. Is this going to be number three? Do we see Goldberg back in a WWE ring?
I'm not near as thrilled about Goldberg being in the ring as I was for somebody like Sting.
Thank you. Don't even care.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, Goldberg is like, I'll give you one Goldberg anecdote. I was on one of those long family vacation things that you take when you're like a teenager. Dad drove us up to go see his own hometown in Cleveland. Hates pro wrestling. It was the night where he defeated Hogan for the title. I was like, Dad, we're watching this match. We have no choice. That was the only time I've ever cheered on Goldberg. Other than that, I've never been into the character. And I understand that he was a WCW homegrown, that showed that they can produce a superstar. And people love the guy.
The one homegrown guy.
Well, what about Sarge? the trainer at the power plant.
Again, as we said, the one homegrown star that WCW had during the Eric Bischoff years.
I've just never been a big fan, and that's really? Just me. So, but I mean, to answer your question, no, and I hope he stays away. I don't need to see this old man try to spear Brock Lesnar in the ring.
I mean, Goldberg's work was never great.
No, period. Of course not.
So at this point, how old is Goldberg? He's got to be.
I mean, it's 50s.
Close to 50 or over it.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks in great shape from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, but Sting was 55 when he wrestled Triple H at Mania.
Yeah, but Sting didn't look in good shape, though, either.
Sting looked okay for being 55 years old.
Yeah, he didn't look like Goldberg does at 55.
Right. Well, that's
Bill
what
Goldberg's
I'm
49.
Okay.
Well. Okay.
I'll tell you this. I would be more excited about Dave Bautista returning again than I would be for another Goldberg.
Yikes. Really?
Really.
Why? Why would you want to see that statue even pretend to wrestle?
That tells you how down I am on a Goldberg return.
That's what he's putting. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. You said it with
I'm clamoring
like, really?
To see Batista see back
the
in the ring.
The sarcasm was a little cloaked there. Okay. I got that.
So. Yeah. Oh, all right. That was really dry. Right.
Yeah. I'm not.
When did you become British?
Planning on. Okay. Not looking forward to seeing Goldberg.
Speaking of British, or at least bad accents. Let's talk.
Wait, did you do what we talked about before? Did you segue from Lesnar to Goldberg as if to remind me about the worst WrestleMania match?
Exactly.
No, I did not.
Like Giant Gonzalez and The Undertaker was a friggin' 5-star classic compared to Goldberg and Lesnar like titty bumping for 10 minutes and Austin trying to get some fire and not doing anything.
That's awesome.
So I wasn't watching the product at the time, and it was one of those that I got the DVD a few months later, and I'm like, Lesnar Goldberg, this could be pretty cool. And I'm sitting there like, all right, something's going to happen soon, right? Something's going to happen, and nothing ever happened.
No, well, the crowd
remember, both of them were on the way out of the company.
Yep.
So I think both of them had bad attitudes, you know.
And Austin was gone the next day, too, because his contract expired. All three guys were out the door.
Yeah.
So
Austin hitting the stunner on Goldberg almost made that
worth it.
That worth it. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wanted to see. Like through the whole Monday Night Wars, that's what I wanted to see.
That was the
I was an
comparison.
Austin guy.
Yeah, but, everybody said Goldberg was WCW's version of Austin.
But still, now I have to, you know, times like this, I have to actually remember that match. Yeah. It's,
well, speaking of bad matches, let's talk TNA for a second.
it's always a good scene.
Yeah. First of all, have you seen Matt Hardy lately?
I've read, because again, I don't have Pop TV. I've read about it and seen the pictures, and what the hell is going on?
Okay, first of all, like, why did he steal the blonde streak from Seth Rollins?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That's kind of
because now he looks like Cruella DeVille.
I think that's why Rollins stopped wearing it.
So
he
to
made
back
it
up,
cool.
So to back up, so at the taping, which aired a few weeks ago, Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy. No holds barred. They wrestled all over Universal Studios, and then the end of the match, Jeff puts Matt on a table. Jeff goes up these steps to like a landing of some sort that's in that studio, and then does the swanton off the landing onto Matt. The table I don't think broke, or it didn't break very easily, and you know. They're laying there, and that was it.
Oh, no. I was talking about the one before we came on air about the side effect given from the side of the ring off onto the concrete floor table.
No,
that not doctored.
This was afterwards.
Yeah, this was after that. Okay.
So in that time, you know, Matt Hardy was doing the whole Matt Hardy brand, and he had Rebby Sky, had his kid out there, and they had Tyrus and Rockstar Spud. And so now we go a few weeks. And then Jeff Hardy all of a sudden starts seeing Willow in the back, you know, backstage. Willow, of course, being Jeff Hardy's alter ego.
You talk about wrestlers, you know, I hear Austin talk about it. I hear Foley talk about it. Your bump card. You only got so many bumps on your bump card. Or like the Hardy Brothers, are their bump cards like the freaking Dead Sea Scrolls or like the Magna Carta or something at that point?
Yeah, well, if they are, they've got a little more because TNA's got a pay-per-view this Sunday. By the way, how long has it been since we've had like three wrestling pay-per-view events in 1 month? You got TNA Slammiversary this Sunday.
I didn't know TNA was still doing pay-per-views, so good on them.
Apparently they are. WWE Money in the Bank, albeit on the network, the following Sunday. And then the Friday after that is Ring of Honor Best in the World. So you've got three, you know, semi-decent pay-per-views. We'll see what TNA does. Starting with Slammiversary. So Matt and Jeff are going to meet in a Full Metal Mayhem match. And Matt Hardy's been doing this weird accent. He's got the blonde streak. He calls Jeff Brother Nero, which just he's trying to act like a Bond character, and it's like a Bond character in small town dinner theater. It's really bad. So for the love of God, Matt, give Seth Rollins his blonde streak back, please.
I don't think Seth wants it back.
He may not. Seth may be doing just fine without it. The rest of the card, Drew Galloway to defend the TNA world title versus Lashley.
They still pushing that Lashley thing?
They're still trying to make Lashley their version of Brock, and it's still not working.
Can't they get that guy a manager?
Here's how bad it is. Brock Lesnar has 100 times the personality of Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Why can't they just give that guy a manager?
Because you're trying to play logic to TNA, Justin.
Yes. Yeah.
Can't be that difficult. You have like 1,000 people on the
roster,
right?
By the way, I did buy a Beer Money hat because I love it. Beer Money was probably one of the last good things they've done.
Okay.
So Bobby Roode, James Storm.
You hung in there way longer than I did, that's for sure.
Well, because I like Bobby Roode and James Storm.
I was like Motor City Machine Guns. And after that, I kind of stopped watching when all those guys
started. Miracle by Michael Bennett, who's still wearing the Kingdom logo on his tights from Ring of Honor. But he's taking on Ethan Carter III. Maria, Bennett's wife, will be taking on Gail Kim. And then and here's another one. They still have the King of the Mountain title, which was the TV title, which was the Legends title, which was the they've changed that title about four times.
Dude,
it's still the same.
The lineage.
I know. It's, you know.
And that's without Wikipedia.
I have
in front
no
of us.
Life. Okay. So that's why I do. I look up lineage of titles.
Was Devon Dudley the last person to hold the actual TNA television championship?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. So, you know, Jeff Jarrett brought it back when he was doing the whole TNA versus Global Force as a King of the Mountain title. So the current champion, Eli Drake, which is kind of a cheap version of, oh, I don't want to say Austin, more like a maybe a cheap version of Seth Rollins. He's a little bulkier. He tries to be schmarmy funny, and it sometimes hits, sometimes it doesn't. And when I say hit, it's kind of like a BB hitting an elephant, you know. So anyway, Eli Drake will defend against Bram, who's the former champion. I hope they get buys. I mean, you want to see, we've said it before, wrestling companies are, you know, having wrestling companies around is good because you want these guys to have places to go,
yeah, you want
to apply their craft. So to see, I don't want TNA to close down because that's one less company. And it's a company that, even if it is pop TV, at least it's on TV.
True.
So we'll see what happens. And they do, and allegedly they have TV taping scheduled that next week. So we'll see what happens.
We just have to see what the set looks like for Slammiversary, if they're able to put any money into their stuff. And if they are, then maybe that's a good sign. But
well,
if they're not,
here's the thing. It's going to be at Universal Studios. I think it's going to be in the Impact Zone. So you got to imagine the set's going to be, it'll be, I mean, but
less
then again, WWE hasn't changed their sets for
that's because Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon still think what worked in 1999 will work in 2016.
I agree.
So that's a different deal. But who's paying the bills in TNA? Right now.
Well, that's a good question. There was talk, and there I think it's still talk that Dixie Carter wants to.
Well,
Harris Brothers were rumored. I don't know if that's happened yet or not. Dixie was looking for investors, but she didn't want to give up control of the company.
Is Russo going to end up with this thing or what?
I say that half joking.
Watch that happen. He's going to come into the ring and unmask himself.
Oh, I think that might be the thing that finally kills TNA.
Russo?
Yes.
Russo showing up. That would
he
be
He killed
it.
WCW, so why not? You know?
Is he like the real Grim Reaper of pro
I think
wrestling?
He is. I think he is. I mean, allegedly he is, he now regrets some of the stuff he did back in the day, but apparently he, I don't think there's a wrestling company on this earth that would even think about hiring him.
No.
With the toxicity that surrounds his name. I don't know.
It was, and the thing is that he was just a writer at a different time where it worked really well, and he had Vince there to kind of flesh out his ideas.
In the exact right place at the exact right time.
Yeah,
he had off-the-wall ideas at a time when they needed off-the-wall ideas.
Yep.
Just like Eric Bischoff. By the way, he's got a DVD coming out. WWE's putting out a DVD about Eric Bischoff.
He also has a beer out that I'd like to sample.
Oh, that'd be cool. I still want to try the Broken Skull IPA.
Yes, as do I.
So
yeah, but I prefer to drink that one with Stone Cold and at the ranch, right?
That would be nice.
That would be the ideal way to enjoy that beverage.
Problem is, he's never at the ranch. He's always in LA, but you know. Meanwhile, Ring of Honor, as we mentioned, does have Best in the World coming up June 24th. Their big match that they're touting, Jay Lethal is going to defend the title against Jay Briscoe. This is the rematch 1 year in the making. So apparently when Lethal won the title, he defeated Jay Briscoe. Jay Briscoe never got the rematch. So now he's going to get the rematch. So so they're building that one up. You mentioned your Motor City Machine Guns.
Yep.
They will be challenging the Addiction for the World Tag Titles at Best in the World.
I still don't like their chances. But
I don't like their chances. I think the Addiction's probably going to keep the titles for a while. But it's good to see that rivalry continue. That's a that's a long rivalry, spans TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan. I think Bobby Fish will defend the TV title against Dalton Castle.
That's gonna be an awesome match.
Dalton Castle, of course, will have the boys with him. The other match, and this was really cool to talk to him last week. I saw on Ring of Honor TV when Nigel McGuinness announced this match. It was kind of a match he didn't want to announce, but he knew he had to. So BJ Whitmer and Steve Corino in a fight without honor, unsanctioned fight without honor. This is a match that has been 2 years in the making.
Yeah.
And this is so as I said, I got a chance to talk to Steve Corino last week. Because he's gonna be here he's gonna be in Buda on June 18th. And we'll get to that later, but June 24th, Fight Without Honor, BJ Whitmer. I asked him about that match. And let's see. Let me make sure I get the right clip as I'm looking. Here's what he had to say. Possibly you holding the NWA World title, and you get your shot 6 days later. It was announced on Ring of Honor television this past week. A Fight Without Honor, you, BJ Whitmer. BJ Whitmer has been, it would take me a while to name a more dastardly individual than BJ Whitmer. I mean, between everything he did with your son Colby and now with this video and the taunting and everything, how much are you chomping at the bit to get your hands on BJ Whitmer June 24th at Best in the World?
I wish I could explain it all in one sentence, but it would take me forever to get into that mindset that I've been getting into, the path to the golden crown or the golden spike, if you will. And it's one of those things where it's something that I didn't want to do. You know, this thing's been going on for 3 years, and I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be in the booth, and I wanted to be left alone, and I wanted to have fun and stuff like this. But sometimes when somebody pokes you and he pokes you and he pokes you and he pokes you, you got to be a man. And then when he stalks your family, you got to be a man. And you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I going to do what I have to do, or am I just going to run away? And you got to find out who you are. And I think when people watch Ring of Honor television in the next couple weeks, I think I've figured out who I am. I've tried not to. I've tried to deny who I was. But when the father tells you who you are and he talks to you about your grandfather and what he's done and what your uncle has expected you and all these people that have come before you, at the end of the day, you just are who you are. And that's what people are going to see on June 24th in Charlotte. They're going to see the guy that can't help who he is. And I'm sure there's going to be apologies afterwards from Sinclair Broadcasting, because it's not going to be a match of, hey, I respect you, or I respect you, or, hey, man, I know you're challenging for the title, but I'm the champion. This is going to be violent. This is going to be inappropriate. This is going to be uncomfortable.
Going to be uncomfortable.
This was when he in the rest of the cut. You can hear the rest of the interview on hornfm.com. Click on the podcast tab. Go to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. It was last week's episode. He got very, very serious and very, very focused. I mean, when he finished that, I was scared for BJ Whitmer. Because this is a man, he's a former ECW world champion, former NWA world champion. He has proclaimed many times he is an evil man. And I have a feeling on June 24th that evil's coming out.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
He's ready for it. By the way, kudos to him and Kevin Kelly. They were in Japan for the last 2 days of Best Super Juniors, calling the action for NJPWworld.com. Had a hard time saying it when I was talking to him. Hoping to get to see him back at the commentary table soon. I mean, Mr. Wrestling 3 is good, but, you know, it'd be nice to see Carino back there. But before then, we get to see him. June 18th.
Yes.
Pinball's Kingdom in Buda. NWA Pro Wrestling Texas presents A Night to Give Back, along with Walk the Path. You've heard us talk about this. This is going to be a great, great night to help this young family that Justin and I got to meet the last Pro Wrestling Texas show. Lost their home in a fire the day before Mother's Day. Lost everything they had. Luckily, they're alive, they're healthy, but they have to rebuild.
Yeah.
And so this night is going to be a night where they can hopefully benefit from a lot of people's generosity. Not to mention, it's going to be a great night of action.
If it's anything like it was last month, it's going to be an awesome night of wrestling and giving back. But the action in the ring was spectacular last time. I can only imagine with the big names that are going to be on the card this coming month that it's going to be phenomenal.
I'll give you the matches that have been announced so far. So, as we mentioned, Godzilla Jack Stane will defend the NWA World title against Steve Corino. And the great thing with this story, hey, there's Neville. Neville's at NXT. Hopefully we get to see him back in the ring soon. By the way, while we were playing the clip, they were showing a backstage shot of William Regal talking to one of the interviewers when behind him walks Bobby Roode. So may see something Bobby Roode here soon. But anyway, so Godzilla, Steve Corino was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion in 2001. He was in a match. The match was stopped due to an injury that Corino suffered. The belt was taken from Corino. So, and Corino was never given a title rematch until this one. So,
now.
June 18th, he will face Godzilla Jack Stane for the NWA World title. There will be a six-person tag team match. BB&J, Jackson Stone, Bam Bam Malone, one of the hottest young tag teams on the Texas independent scene. They have been tearing it up all over the state. They will team with Lainey Luck, the Dirty Girl. By the way, shout out to Dirty Andy Dalton. He's in Japan.
Yep.
He's in Pro Wrestling Noah for their Best of the Super Jays tournament.
Yeah,
I saw him
on the card.
Best
of
luck
awesome,
to Andy.
Man.
Hopefully we'll see him in August or September, hopefully with some good stories. But so BB&J and Lainey Luck, they will face Christy Janes and the Vet Club, APOC and the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion Tim Storm. So that will be a great match.
Oh, definitely so.
A match between two guys that are two of the best experienced grapplers in any independent scene. Ray Rowe, one half of War Machine, is going to take on the hybrid, Chris Marvel.
Ooh, that would be a really good match.
That's going to be a fun one.
I feel sorry for Marvel, though. I think Rowe's going to just decimate it. But we'll see. We'll see.
Marvel's a good one. So I think that will be a fun match. And then the match that intrigues me. Justin, you and I got to see Gregory James come within an eyelash of winning the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Are you giving him a rematch?
No.
Oh.
Instead, he gets Keith Lee.
What? Oh, who am I supposed to cheer for?
The Limitless One, Mr. Baskin's Glory, is going to face Gregory James at A Night to Give Back.
I mean, I want to say that Lee's my boy, but I mean, I guess we're not on that level yet. But I mean, he's like probably Lee, one of the nicest guys, easy to talk to, you know, always able to get a couple of words with him. And he's just so friendly and like he's doing so well. You just want him to see him make it to the big time. And I'm just like, but Gregory James had that phenomenal match the last two times he's competed for the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
So I'm just like.
Now, if I recall, he is getting a third rematch. I think it's in Louisiana.
Jeez, man.
He and Steve Anthony.
I would love to see that match again. Those guys tore down that house. Easily the match of the night that night.
Oh, it was
one of the best matches I've seen.
No disrespect to David Fuller.
Yes.
As good as their match was in Dallas, the match last month, it wasn't even close. It was so much better.
I'm telling you, man, I invited one of my friends to come out and shoot. They wanted to shoot something out there, him and his wife, and he's a big wrestling fan. He's from Alabama. And he sat there and he's like, my God, man, that's probably one of the best matches I've seen in a long time, and to be here live to see it.
It was
like, that's how you know the NWA is legit again. Though.
It was
like
incredible.
That.
By the way, speaking of just the NWA in general, Stu, I know you posted on our Facebook page.
Yes, facebook.com/
at Full Sail.
The evidently. President of the National Wrestling Alliance, Bruce Tharp, who we've had on this show, shaking hands with Triple H.
What?
He was at Full Sail University yesterday.
I saw the post. I didn't look into it, but I was like, Bruce Tharp? I was like,
I don't know why.
When I got here.
We have not heard why. I've reached out to Douglas Hart, who runs social media for the NWA.
Yeah.
I've reached out to people I know. I have not heard anything.
Nothing. Everybody's being hush-hush about this one, huh?
Needless to say, that picture
speaks volumes.
Just went viral. There was a buzz about that picture like nothing else.
That's amazing.
You've got the executive vice president of talent for WWE.
Yeah.
and the president of the National Wrestling Alliance.
That's amazing.
Shaking hands. So
I read this. Is it, Stu, you can confirm or deny this. Triple H actually owns the original NWA World Heavyweight Championship belt.
It wouldn't surprise me. Okay. Triple H is a huge fan of the history.
I guess it would be true, because I saw Bruce Starr post, I guess it was in his Facebook feed, that yes, Triple H has it, and it apparently is his most prized possession.
Yes. You know, because remember, Triple H was the one that found the original belt that Bruno had.
Yeah.
And it would not surprise me that if he has the original NWA belt.
WWE Network, I got your new show for you. You got to do something called like WWE Warehouse.
Yeah.
Just take you through the warehouse.
Yes.
They had the YouTube series.
I know, but they have to have a whole 30-minute show.
They need to do more, though.
Yeah. They need take you through more. That warehouse, and they just go through all those old crates, and they're like, oh.
Because well, you know they've inherited stuff from WCW, from the AWA.
Exactly. Can you mention the
you
stuff
know what I actually enjoyed? Speaking of the YouTube series, what I actually enjoyed was Road Dogg and Josh Matthews had, I guess, the WWE, it would be kind of Botchamania Lite version.
I used to watch that all the time.
I totally forget the name of it. But
Are You Serious?
Yes. Thank you.
Are you serious?
Stu, yes. I'm not sure how you knew that. But.
No, because I used to watch it. I used to watch it every week. I love that. It was hilarious.
Let me... I hate to break away from that real quick, but okay. So I read somewhere that any time that Finn Balor dresses as a demon, he's undefeated. He hasn't lost. Is that
really
true?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, could you see him losing in this match to Samoa Joe?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the color
then he gets called
changed.
Because you know, then he gets called up.
No, he's not going to get called up to the main roster.
Where
do you put him? On SmackDown?
Hello, the club. He's the original leader of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, but then you just waste him. And then he gets gummed up with the other big feud. He's never going to get into big feud that way.
Anderson Gallo turns on Styles.
Oh, and
Balor reveals himself to be the real leader.
Yeah, but then you just get a grudge match against him and Styles instead of a championship match with him against Cena or with him against Reigns or him against Rollins. Can you imagine him against Seth Rollins? That would be an awesome match to watch.
Man. Tyler Black and Fergal Divot. Nice.
Yep.
I think Samoa Joe keeps the title. I think Finn Balor goes to the main roster. I really do.
I really think that Samoa Joe should keep the title after this, but... I don't think it should come to a cost if Balor losing, because I don't think he's going to get on the roster right after this either.
Well, getting back to June 18th, make sure you're there. Tickets, you can buy tickets now. Contact our friend and the PR director, Shaney Snoddy. Shaney, Shani, at walkthepathtx.com.
I should be there for this one, fellas.
By the way, tickets, the general admission tickets, $10. $5 of that will go to that family.
Great.
So
nice.
We want as many people as possible. They've taken the walls down from the pavilion there at Pinball's Kingdom. So we can pack that place. We can have people out to the interstate.
Wow.
So I'm telling you now, make sure you're there. There's going to be more matches announced. I know Moonshine Mantel will be defending his Pro Wrestling Texas heavyweight title. I think I know who it is, but I haven't been able to confirm it. As soon as I do, we'll post it. We'll talk about it. There'll be more matches announced. There might be some surprise guests. We'll see. And on top of that, we've gotten into this groove. So yes, it would be cool if we get the trio together to broadcast live. Yes, we will broadcast live with our buddies John Molise, Jason Schaefer, Hayes County Radio. We will bring you that card live. We'll bring you interviews. Steve Corino can't do commentary in Ring of Honor, but hey, Nigel McGuinness has no jurisdiction here. We'll put him on the mic if he so desires.
If he's able to do so after that match against Jack Stein.
I hope he is. I do want Steve to come out. Besides, we want to get one last word with him about his match with Whitmer. We will have all sorts of guests on there, just like we always do. It's a fun night. It's a great night of wrestling. and a great night, as we said, a night to give back. You're going to help this wonderful family rebuild. So make sure you're there June 18th. It's a Saturday night. Doors open at 7:30. Bell time is 8 o'clock. Pinball's Kingdom, 15201 South IH-35. It's on the northbound frontage road of I-35.
Across the freeway from HEB.
There you go. Absolutely. By the way, there's a Dan's Hamburgers over there,
yes,
too.
That's
so
awesome.
Go to Dan's Hamburgers, get you a hamburger, yep, then come around to Pinball's Kingdom, or better yet, just eat at Pinball's Kingdom. They do have good food.
Yeah, for those who are familiar, it is the old Dorset 221 truck stop.
Yes.
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 Trust
so,
me, but you can't miss it. It's really right. Easy to spot, I promise.
It'll be a lot of fun, and you'll be helping out a really worthy cause. So
yeah, definitely
make sure you're there. We will talk more about it in next week on the show. So I think that's covered everything. Have I missed anything, guys?
Nope. The only thing was do you ever look at whatculture.com for like any WWE news?
You mentioned this
I do, every now and then, yeah.
Okay, can you believe they're starting their own promotion?
Yeah, how's that going to work?
You said this was in the UK, right?
Yeah, they're UK based.
So
yeah.
You've got Progress, Revolution Pro UK, and now
yes,
WhatCulture is going to do their own.
Yeah, but think about it. They have like a built-in audience for all this media that they put out. Their YouTube channels get thousands and thousands of views. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's from around the whole world. Can you imagine, like, what happens if they're successful at doing this? Do we see like the next revolution of wrestling come through the social media sphere where you don't even have to have like live TV broadcasting? You can literally just put this on YouTube.
Well,
and they're going to have a weekly show, pay-per-views, all that stuff. I don't know how it's supposed to work.
We're watching a streaming service.
True.
NWA, they have a streaming service. Now, granted, it's a lot of classic matches. NWAOnDemand.com. Check them out. But I hear that you might be seeing some stuff from current NWA promotions. May include Pro Wrestling Texas, may include NWA, IWE, Texoma, who knows?
We can devil into it.
You can,
at next time. But
we've
just
got,
let you guys think about
right.
That.
New Japan has their streaming service.
I know, but they're all wrestling promotions. This is a website that just kind of criticizes the WWE and makes lists about their wrestlers and stuff.
Right,
and now they have their own promotion.
So I guess this is going to be one of my parting shots. We talked about TNA and kind of what the future could be for TNA. That TNA brand is huge in the UK.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And Justin, we talk about, you know, needing to have a place to work. Who's to say that, I don't know, a Mike Bennett or pick anybody on the TNA roster, that this could be a place where you can go work and earn a living.
That's true.
And because TNA does have a really big following in the UK, that you've already got kind of a built-in fan base. So, yeah, I mean, look, the more, you know, Stu, we didn't talk about this. We can sure we'll talk about it later, but, you know, House of Hardcore joining up with Reality Wrestling
for
a show. I mean, the more chances guys have to make money, the more exposure the business gets, the more positive exposure it gets. I'm all for it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
And I see what you're saying there, too. But the wrestling business is like Hollywood, like any other little aspect of business that you get into. There's a certain way to conduct it. And it's just kind of funny for me to think, who do they have on the inside that's working for them? Because it's very hard to be an outsider to get into this business.
Yeah.
But at the same token, did they break down that wall? And now we're going to be able to see, if anybody has a website that has a decent following, that likes wrestling, that has a little money that they can throw behind that, because now they have advertisers and revenue stream coming in, that almost anybody can have, like, it's almost like self-publishing a book, but instead you get your own wrestling promotion, complete with a wrestling ring, real people, and a tour and a roster.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's like I said, it's a fun time to be a fan of professional wrestling right now. So,
and then maybe they need a play-by-play crew too. I'm just saying.
Well, who knows? Hey, you know, if they want to pay my ticket to England, sure. Justin Simmons, throw in Sundays, 9 a.m., 104.9 The Horn. What else you got going?
That's about it. Just running around, covering every little piece. TCW
and Kip
McConco. Wrestling. That's right. I forgot. TCW.
That's right. When's their next show?
And no, I'm not exactly when the next show is, but you might know the answer. Whenever the Texas Heat Wave is, that's going to be one of their next major shows. They always get to run Texas Heat Wave. We're going to be out there, and we'll have a show out there, and it's always a good time. I'm telling you, like
our buddy Terrell Tempo, Yeah. Huge star in TCW.
Yeah, he gets a lot of bookings over there. He's been working in Waco a little bit. So,
that's good.
You know, I get to see those guys out there. Again, we got to see Charlie Haas a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
We were supposed to see Leva Bates last month also, but she had that injury beforehand.
Yeah. She's nursing that injury.
Saw a fantastic match against Mr. B and Kyle Hawk where it was like this all-out street fight. Somebody got backflipped onto some chairs on the outside of the concrete. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Oof.
So, other than that, just getting ready for their next show and getting ready for, I want to go see the IHWE retro show when they have
Old
that.
School Hustle?
Yeah.
I think, I'm, hey, David Fuller, we need to talk soon. We may be planning a road trip.
Yeah, because he said he was supposed to be like an 80s retro show. And I was like, I got to be there for that. I don't want to miss that.
I know Cherry Ramones has already signed up for that show. There will be more announcements for that to come. Check out IHWE on Facebook and Twitter. Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, what did Chad say, 90-something days away from Texas versus Notre Dame?
Oh, we're less than that. It's 80. We're in the 80s. 88 days. I think we're 40-some-odd days, 50-some-odd days out from Big 12 Media Days, which puts us about less than 60 days from the start of fall practice.
That's
so
right.
Starting to get it ramped up a little bit.
So you're hibernating now?
Will you be at Big 12 Media Days?
I will be at Big 12 Media Days.
I'll be at Big 12 Media Days.
I won't.
coming out of hibernation, Justin, so to say. Well, actually, it really wasn't hibernation because I had recruiting stuff in the spring and then
had all the spring high school camps.
Yeah, did you get like a break here somewhere in between all this, or the break is done?
No, I'll take a vacation in July, but after I think that's
because like once August gets here, it's like you have to get right back to the run.
Starting to think. Gosh, I got to look back at when
I know I started getting busy that last week of August, the week right before that.
Oh, there's a week in between the 7-on-7 state tournament and Big 12 Media Days, so that's like the middle of July. I'll take my vacation. That's what I'll take it.
All right.
Going to go see some.
So I'll see you in Dallas, if not before then.
Right.
Let's see. For me, I'll actually be in Fort Worth for the IndyCar Series Firestone 600 at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. I'm going up there Friday. Go check. I want to try to get a word with Alexander Rossi.
I was going
to
ask you
the winner
right
of the Indianapolis 500. We saw him back in November at the Circuit of the Americas for the Formula One United States Grand Prix. Actually, you know, got top 10. He got points.
I know. And now he's sponsorless again.
Though. And now he's the Indy 500 winner. You know, so hopefully catch up with him. And by the way, while I'm there, shout out to VIP Wrestling. They've got a card Friday night.
Sweet.
I'll be there. One of the matches, and you're going to kill me, Ray Rowe, Pentagon Jr.
What?
Yes. So
are you
I'll be there.
Pentagon Jr. wrestle? I'm sorry, I had to point to Jeff.
Yes. I'll be there.
I was stretching, so I was
him against Ray Rowe.
Wow.
So, wow. I mean, can you imagine the hits in that match? Pentagon Jr. So, put his body through to try to take Rowe off his feet. Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's Friday night in Arlington. Check out VIP Wrestling on Facebook and Twitter. You can find out how to get tickets. Big thanks to Lou Sterrett and the guys up there at VIP Wrestling for letting me come and check them out. We'll get pictures, we'll get interviews, and put those up next week. So until then, Justin Simmons on Twitter at @TheSmashSimmons. Jeff Howe at Jeff Howe 247. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of taking a break from social media right now. Just kind of
you and Morrow
staying off for a little bit, but I'll be tweeting. Good tweeting here before too long.
Okay. All right. Well, and of course, find me at Stu Myrick. You can find the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. Find us on Facebook at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Subscribe to us on iTunes. If you do subscribe, make sure you rate us. Make sure you review us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know what you like. If there's something you want to hear on a future episode, let us know. We'll do our best to get it as we're watching Samoa Joe and Finn Balor in the cage for the NXT title. And, of course, we are part of 104.9 The Horn. You can find us there at hornfm.com. Click on the podcast tab. There you'll find Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, all our interviews. By the way, Resurrection of Jake the Snake is now on Netflix. See that movie. Absolutely see that movie. Whether you're a wrestling fan or not, or if you know someone who has had troubles with addiction, check it out. And you can hear our interviews with both Jake the Snake Roberts and Diamond Dallas Page on hornfm.com/sportsguystalkingwrestling. For Jeff Howe, for Justin Simmons, I'm Stu Murray. Thank you so much for joining us. And as Bill After loves to say, as we go out to some of Joe's old music, we will see you at the matches.